Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Guys, right before we came on air, Mac's dog, Sam, who we love, just sighed very loudly as we were finishing up our interview with Kelsey, and I think we bored her. So we really hope that this episode does not bore you like it did Sam the dog. And we don't know what's, I mean, we'd like to talk to Sam and see what we can do to improve, but I don't know what's going on, Mac.
Honestly, Kelly, I think it was the fact that she couldn't hear Kelsey's responses or your questions. So it was just like, Dad, please, you're talking so much.
Just stop talking.
I'm sorry, Samantha. Just carry on with your life. She's laying down. She's having a good time now.
Carry on with your life. Well, maybe we could get Sam to subscribe to the pod. We're still trying to get to our 100 subscribers. Tell a friend, post it on social, whatever you got to do. Help us get to that mark. We'd really, really appreciate it. And Mac, it's time to get to one of our absolute favorite people of all time in life. And that's not an exaggeration. Kelsey Riggs is truly one of my favorite people that I have met at ACC Network, probably the favorite. Kelsey one, Mac two. I'll put it like that.
I'm fine with that.
Let's get to our intro.
That's right, because Kelsey Riggs is the MVP of the ACC Network. There is no question about it. She hosts In Play with my guy, EJ Manuel, all ACC, nothing but net. And then somehow she finds time to also be a sideline reporter and absolutely crushes it during football season. If you turn on ACC Network, there's probably a high likelihood of you seeing Kelsey sitting there hosting a show, transitioning between sports. It's no big deal.
Before ACC Network, Kelsey spent 3 years as a sports anchor and reporter at WCNC in Charlotte. She also spent time in Myrtle Beach. We talk about that as well. She covered the Carolina Panthers very closely during her time in Charlotte, as well as many Super Bowls and Final Fours. Kelsey is a native of Charleston, South Carolina, and played soccer at Charleston Southern.
Listen, Kelly just told y'all, but she really is one of our favorite people in the whole world. Let's get to it.
Kelsey Riggs, the MVP of the ACC Network. I think everyone's fine with me saying that. Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us.
I'm just trying to be sixth man of the year. I don't know about MVP.
No way, come on.
Hi, you guys. It's so good to see y'all and be on with you. Thanks for having me.
We miss, you know, the in-person stuff, as we could tell with our like 15-minute catch-up before we even started recording. But how are you? I mean, football and basketball, I always joke I didn't know when you were ever going to get a vacation because you're on our TVs all the time. You're getting a little bit of a break right now. So how, when you look back at this last year, I mean, how would you even describe it?
It's hard to describe it just because I'm sure you guys feel it too. It was so different from our first year, but you just still felt so grateful to have it and be part of it. As we're recording this, I'm back in Charleston, which is where I spent the 5 months of quarantine, and I got some invaluable time with my family that I was so grateful for. But being back again, it just kind of like reminds you, you know, I went for a jog the other day and I'm like, oh yeah, when I got when I was jogging around this corner, I was thinking, you know, I think I got the push alert of spring sports were canceled. And I'm like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? What's it going to look like? I think it's kind of good to relive some of that just because we were in such a different place this time last year as far as wondering what was next. And we still don't know. But I was grateful, I think, is the main word that comes across my mind when I think about football and basketball season and everything last year. And then it was just so busy. It was good to be busy again. Like, we had the stillness and the slowness of quarantine, and then to be able to jump right back in it, although it looked different, it was nice to slow down. And then it was nice to again be like, oh yeah, this is what it feels like.
And Kelsey, you actually, we were talking about this as well, but you know, some really cool opportunities arose by just being in Connecticut and you know, everyone else having to shut down, but you guys still going strong. I mean, what was that like to get calls to, hey, Kelsey, we need you to host SportsCenter. We need you to do this coverage here. I mean, was that a lot of fun? Was it nerve-wracking? How was that emotionally?
It was all of the above. Like, has last year not been like an emotional roller coaster in like every aspect? It was great. You know, I certainly, like, when I got the opportunities, it wasn't lost on me that like other people A, weren't able to get them, or B, were still going through hard times. But since I was in Connecticut, I said, I just want to go all in and pull as many people as I could. I'm here if anybody needs me, and I can do this and that. And, you know, I live up there and my family's not there. So if I'm there, I want to be working. So it was great. The day I did SportsCenter, I only told a few people that I was doing it. My parents knew, and I told them that they could tell my family, but that I didn't want anybody texting me, because, you know, you have a great support system. Everybody texts you the day of, good luck, do great, don't say anything crazy. I'm like, I don't need 100 good luck texts. Like, I'm going to be nervous enough just hearing that, like, open of SportsCenter run. So I had just a couple of close friends and family members that knew. And so that was a really great experience of doing that. And then the women's basketball coverage, I got to do, you know, still my show with Kelly and the ladies, and then to be able to jump in and be part of that group too. I mean, Kelly knows because she's been part of it for such a long time, but it's such a fun, inclusive, passionate group. And so my big thing was like, I mean, make sure they know that, like, I'm all into, and that this is, you know, I care about it. And it was a really great experience.
That's fantastic. I think, honestly, just in life, I mean, we talk about it with football a lot in the NFL, but availability sometimes is the best ability that we can have. So I love that you were able to capitalize. I remember that day seeing you on SportsCenter. I was just like, oh my gosh, like that's my friend up there just bawling.
See, and Kels, you knew that if the word got out to Monica and I, then your phone would have like 50 texts. So that was smart.
Right. Throughout SportsCenter too, not just early.
Yes, exactly.
Mom would have like FaceTimed you while it was about to start. Right. That would have been a problem.
Hey, Jordan Cornette actually did, because Jordan Cornette thought it was only an hour show. So when we got to the 7 o'clock hour, my phone started, FaceTime started going off, and I'm like, Jordan, I'm still doing this show.
Jordan, please stop. You're embarrassing me in front of my friends.
It's cool because it just, you know, it speaks. I just feel like a cheesy little broken record anytime I talk about the ACC network, because, you know, the one thing I talk about is how close we all are.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything other than that at ESPN. That's been my experience mm-hmm. the whole time we're here, because there's something that's just so special about us all being able to come together and start something new and be some of the people that got to build it. And so it just feels, you know, like such a close-knit group and a family atmosphere, which I think really goes a long way, especially in hard times like the last year. You know, I know we were all texting each other and checking in and talking, and so when we do get to all be back in the same place, it's going to be a big deal.
No question. And we have, you know, kind of rundowns each week of what we're going to do, what we're going to talk about. And I'm just kind of balling it up right now and throwing it away. So sorry, Kelly, you'll have to get us back on track eventually.
Do it, Matt. Kelsey has hosted Ladies Night.
So she knows
what it's like to ball it up and throw it to the trash.
And okay? I wanted to come back to what you just said of the family feel, because I completely agree with you. And you know, it's not like you hear, it's not horror stories, but it's definitely not what we experience, I feel like, at ESPN, and how close of a group, you know, we just are. And the fact that I remember standing in my front yard right here, having a phone call with you 2 years ago saying, all right, we're the only two hired so far. What are we going to do? And, you know, just figuring this thing out, and, you know, just the production meetings and all together, it's, I don't know. It's just everybody cares about everybody, from the production people, from the on-air talent. It's just really cool to be a part of. And that was really, you know, fun to hear you say that. And even in COVID, I mean, the FaceTime calls, the group text messages, what you said, I don't think can be any truer. When we all do get back to studio and we're vaccinated and safe and all that stuff, it's going to be a big time party. I cannot wait.
It really is. You know, I think back to the basketball tournament last 2 years ago. And we were in Greensboro and we had all gone out to dinner. And and I'm not just saying, like, you know, the on-air talent and the bot, like everybody, they took everybody out to dinner. And we were riding back in a car afterwards. And I guess that was the basketball tournament. But anyways, I made a comment about, like, this is so much fun. And one of our PAs that was with us, or APs or someone, looked at me and they said, well, it's not always like this everywhere. I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's great. Right. Everybody, right. You know? And so, like you said, it's not, there's not horror stories or anything like that, but it is just special to have, I think, the relationship that we all do. And I think it's, you know, credit to the people that brought us all together to, you know, see, okay, not just what we like about what these people can bring on camera, but what they can bring off. And I think those relationships are super valuable.
No doubt.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Of course, Mac, I knew you when I was hired. Mac was my agent up in Bristol and talking to other people. But the first person to reach out to me was you, Kelsey.
Oh,
I always appreciate that. Yeah, you were. It was so sweet. Okay, I want to ask you this, and this is on the rundown, but I've always been so curious about this, honestly. You transition so seamlessly from sport to sport. You've got, and even just in basketball season, you've got men's and women's, which are completely different things with all these different names and coaches and everything. So how do you do that? How do you keep all these sports straight?
It's a great question that I'm still navigating. So I'm glad, you know, the biggest piece of advice I got, like as an intern, was fake it till you make it. So I'm just out here trying to fake it till I make it, Kelly Nemec. The funny thing that happens to me during basketball season is my brain is very like color coordinated and like remembers names and numbers and runs. And so I'll be getting ready for a show and I'm like, oh yeah, Louisville won 3 straight. And then I'm like, oh crap, that was the women, not the men. So separating what each team did by men's and women sometimes gets a little confusing in my brain. But, you know, honestly, I think doing what I did in local news for such a long time helped. I mean, you have to, A, not only how to know how to do everything, shoot, write, edit, cut, get ready to get back. And, you know, I'm in Spartanburg, South Carolina, drying my hair under hair dryers after covering the Panthers at training camp and trying to make it look like I didn't just sweat for the last 3 hours to go live on TV by myself. So you learned how to do it all, but you also, in local news, had to know a little bit about everything. I mean, we were talking about everything from the Panthers to the Hornets to high school football to college football to soccer to, you know, you just have to have your hands into so much, golf and NASCAR. And so I think very early on, my brain was always in a million places at once. I got advice from a guy who had been in the business for 30 years, my first job at Myrtle Beach. I still have the little card he wrote me when he got out of the business and just was so kind and said, you know, I was maybe 6 months into a new sports job and just thought the world of, you know, him and the career that he'd had. And he told me that he thought that I would make it one day and that he'd see me on ESPN. And he said, read every day. It doesn't matter what it is. Read a little bit every day. Just make sure you're staying up with things. It doesn't even have to be sports. Just read, stay in the know. So I've always tried to do a little bit of that because I think to me, there's nothing more important than, you know, people enjoying you and thinking you're a good person, liking to be around you. But then when it comes to your job, just being prepared. Because if you're prepared, you're confident, you know, nothing's going to catch you by surprise. We do live TV. Things are going to go off the rails and different things are going to happen. But if I feel confident that I know what I'm talking about, then, you know, I think things go a lot smoother.
I don't think there's any question with that. And it's also interesting to hear you say that because our first year, rookie season, you know, you obviously know where you come from. And so Clemson and the ACC was familiar to me. But it's like these names, these numbers, these stats. And, you know, you talk about being prepared. You know, I have all these notes. I'm like, man, I'm ready. I've got it. But it's really, it's on the front end that you have to do all that. And you have to know it to where, okay, if I put this work in during the middle of the week, Friday, Saturday is easy. You know, it's just going to cruise by. So I'd love to hear you say that. I also love that, you know, sometimes the talent produces the show itself and you just move us along right here in the rundown. I wanted to ask you about Myrtle Beach and Charlotte, you know, kind of your first jobs there and just busting in what it took. And you kind of spelled it out there for us. Talk about that transition to where, you know, you're used to carrying the camera around, setting it up, doing all this stuff to now it's like, just show up and look good and talk about it. You know, how big of a, I guess, a difference was that? Because I remember hearing you say early on, I think we were at Clemson, maybe we were somewhere and you were like, how can I help? What can I move? And they're like, Kelsey, just go, just go get ready.
I'm still like that a little bit. I think I try to be, and I like, honestly, I want to always be like that. I want to always be helpful and trying to do more. And even if it's not my job, just because I appreciate it so much, because, you know, I started in Charleston as an intern, and then a production assistant. So I was the one that was printing people their scripts and handing them their microphones and doing their cameras in studio. And then I got my first job in Myrtle Beach on air, and I was a news reporter, and they knew I wanted to do sports. Sports was on my resume. But I said, I'll go all in on this news job. If there's ever a sports opportunity, you tell me. But right now I'm going to be the best thing news reporter that you have. And so I did that for about a year and a half. And then the sports job opened up there, and I was able to move into sports. And they had given me a few opportunities before then here and there. I was 3 months into the job in Myrtle Beach as a news reporter. I had not even yet covered a Coastal Carolina football game for them. I had just covered high school football. And there's a two guy sports department, and one of the guys needed off for a wedding, but South Carolina and Georgia were playing that weekend, and they were number 5 and 6 wow. in the country, and college game day was there. So the sports director came to me, and he's like, so, you know, we have a wedding, and somebody has to be in studio. Do you want to go cover the game? I'm like, wait, what? Are you serious? I can't even breathe right now. Of course I want to go cover that game. I got up, drove early to go to college game day. I got credentials to cover college game day and then the game that night. And you know how early that is and how late a, you know, 5 versus 6 game between South Carolina and Georgia would be. So drove up to South Carolina. I mean, yeah, to Columbia and covered game day and then covered show that night. But that was just kind of the mindset that I always had. Like whenever there was an opportunity, like I want to go all in. They didn't need me to go out there and cover college game day. I certainly, you know, didn't make any contacts to get a job from it or anything like that. I just wanted the experience. I wanted to see what it was like behind the scenes and be all in. And, you know, I did a story for the 6 o'clock news. I covered the game for the 11 o'clock news. But, you know, I just always try to tell people how valuable not just starting at the bottom is, but getting all those experiences, you know, just because you're not in the job that's your dream job right now. Like, what can you take away from what you're doing that will one day help you later? I remember sitting with our boss, Aaron Katzman, when I was going through the interview process and I went and covered Duke, North Carolina. They were playing at Chapel Hill. And again, I didn't have to go cover that game, but they said they were going to be there. I had already interviewed. I didn't know if I had the job or not. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be there too. Did not have to be there. I did not have a photographer. I had to do everything live myself there. I went, I shot the game. I cut everything. I pulled in the highlights from all the other teams. And he just was like, this is crazy that you're doing all this, and was impressed that I had this background knowledge. He's like, you're never going to need that here. But it helps because you kind of know the behind the scenes of the rundown and appreciate it. So that was a really long-winded answer. And I don't even know if I necessarily answered your question, but I just always try to tell people that, you know, what you're doing now, it does matter. And it can certainly lead to different things. I got this job because I was running around doing all that crazy stuff and someone was watching that I had no idea was watching. And that's how I got this job. So you never know.
Tell us more about that process. I think everyone has a little bit of a different story of how they got hired, but were you hired before Mac, I'm assuming? Were you the first one?
I think Mac might have been first. I think I was second.
Oh, don't tell Mac that. Oh, I can see his head growing.
I think he was first. Yeah, yeah. Listen, got to give credit where credit is due.
Mac is the cornerstone. He's the foundational
Patrick
piece.
Patrick and Durham, definitely the cornerstone.
Oh, well,
they
yeah.
kind of like they kind of yeah, just yeah. like slid in. It wasn't like a big deal. It was like, of course, yeah. Who else would you hire?
Yeah.
So what was your process like, Kels?
I was laying on my couch in Charlotte talking to my older sister, Brianne, on the phone. And I just kind of, for whatever reason, we'd been talking a while. And so I got on to check my email, and not my work email, my personal email. I just, you know, aimless. Sometimes you're on the phone, you're chatting, you're doing other things. I clicked it and I had an email that said ACC tip-off, and the ACC basketball media days was in Charlotte the next day. And so I just didn't know the name, and I just saw that headline and I'm like, who is this Joe Schmo? Probably up there from like Syracuse or Pitt or somewhere far away that wants me to go shoot their stuff and send it to them. I don't have time. I have to go to the Panthers practice. Da-da-da-da. And I opened it, and it was from one of the head talent agents at ESPN saying, hey, I'm going to be in town for the basketball tip-off tomorrow. Would love to talk to you. Can we have a cup of coffee? And I'm like, put my foot in my mouth immediately. Like, what the hell? Right. Like, I'm Googling his name. I think I'm
Why do we both have the same story? Why do we both have the same story?
I didn't believe it. I'm like, this is not real. I'm teary eyed on the phone with my sister. I'm like, this is not real. Like, such a, like, I don't know where, and I had no idea where it was coming from. So I emailed him back. I'm like, I don't think I'm being catfished, but we'll see if I show up tomorrow and I'm just shooting stuff for Syracuse or if I'm actually meeting somebody. And, it was not a catfish. So I met him and I still didn't know. He just said, oh, someone from ESPN saw you and blah, blah. So I went through the whole interview process, just kind of hearing that. And later found out that one of our head bosses at ESPN, her mother lives in Charlotte, and that they had been, she'd been watching me, they say, for over a year and, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on me and said, hey, I think she's really good. And when her daughter would come in town, say, you should see her. And that was how they found me. So basically I have, you know, yet to send those flowers to her mother. I have inquired about if I, you know, should be in, you know, adopted as part of the family or if I should have that title bestowed just because I'm so grateful for them. But you never know who's watching. And they were taught, you know, they had asked people behind the scenes about me and all of this stuff. And I had no idea. And so I think that's why it's so important too, not to just do the work, but to just sincerely make a good impression, because maybe I would have never known if they had talked to the right people that would have told them the real thing about me and not
a yeah, right. Well,
that's amazing though. Cause that's what I tell people all the time is you never know who you're going to meet. You never know who's going to be watching you. You never know what interaction you might have could take you to another level. I mean, that was something when I was a player that I just was very intentional about every time I would do an interview, anytime I'm doing any kind of TV, the people I meet, the producers, the PAs, the AP, all that, I was intentional about it. And I think it's very cool to hear you say that very same thing, because we never know. You never know who's watching, who's going to like you, who's going to see something that you do that is extraordinary to them. But to you, it's just, you're just doing your job and you're just doing what you're, you know, hired to do. And that's a really cool story. I didn't know that. And it's funny how similar ours are in the fact of, you know, I got a text, you got an email, and it's just like, who is this? Like, I don't know who you are, and you do not show up anywhere. You're a ghost. And, you know, I totally thought it was a joke too. So that's super funny. Look, you've covered it all with ACC Network, Kelsey, and just seeing the different things that you've done and even some things outside of ESPN. Do you have a favorite, maybe not SportsCenter? We talked about that. We know that one was a big one, but do you have a favorite that stands out? I mean, these last 2 years, was there anything where you were just like, man, this is nuts that I'm doing this for real life?
Gosh, there's a million different things, which is such an exciting problem to have, you know, to not be able to necessarily pick one. I think when we got to cover the national championship, that was really special to me. I had never covered a football national championship. I got to cover North Carolina basketball winning, I think it was in 2017 with Charlotte, when I was in Charlotte, I mean. So that was really cool. But to get to cover the football national championship, although Clemson didn't win, and, you know, it would have been even more fun for us had they won, to be there with everybody the first year of the network after all the hard work that everybody had put in for so long, that one definitely stands out. Just because for me too, that was at the end of, I had gotten to go to like four different cities for bowl games for TV and radio. And so just to have that season in that way was really special. I'll forever remember the last year, Kelly, the basketball tournament. Monica always jokes that was like our last taste of normal was the ACC yep. women's tournament. And then the men's tournament is where it shut down. So I'll remember that for a lot of reasons, just because it was our first one too, but also just kind of the transition between, okay, like something's really happening. Like what is life going to look like in the future? And then the first show that we ever did will just always stick out to me. There's a picture that's one of my favorite pictures from that day where it's you guys, Mac, all sitting on the desk. And then some of the rest of us like standing like right around there. And we're all watching this one little TV because the first 2 minutes of the show wasn't open. And it was like the ACC and all the schools. And I remember my little pansy sensitive self is over there like, oh God, is nobody else feeling like emotional about the fact that we're really doing this?
I'm like, shocked. It,
trying to like look somewhere else. Like, I'm fine. I don't know what y'all talking about. But there's a photo of just us all watching it. And I just remember how much pride and how much excitement I felt in that moment to be a part of it. And there were still so many unknowns, you know, we were all so green and so excited. And and, you know, are still learning now. But I think those are definitely three that stick out. They're three big ones, obviously. So I didn't give you anything like crazy that you didn't know. But, you know, those are some of, I think, the memories are special, not just because of like what that event was, but like the moments.
So we have established, the three of us, all extremely grateful to be on ACC Network. We love it. We love working with the people. I want to, for you to shed a little light, because you've worked in TV at many different levels. And some people are listening and they're like, oh my gosh, this job is amazing. It's like every moment is amazing. It sounds like a fairy tale land. Give us a few tidbits about how unglamorous TV can be sometimes.
Well, I told you about being in Spartanburg and sweating my tail off and literally drying my hair under a hair dryer just so I didn't look like I had been out dancing in the club for 4 hours and put my hair off my head. So that was one of my not glamorous moments that happened plenty of times. It's a grind, Kelly. I mean, you know, we talked just about having your head and a little bit of everything. My first football season, as grateful as I was and am to be able to do sideline and studio shows, I mean, the first 5 weeks, I'm calling my mom like once a week, like, I don't even have groceries. I can't do my laundry. I don't know enough about this. I still got to study this. I just couldn't find the balance. And I think part of, you know, the pandemic that helped is, you know, it forced us all to slow down and realize what's important. But you just have to, you know, when you can't find the balance and all those things, I think you just have to slow down and you have to like establish it. You're not going to find it unless you stop and have a little bit of life outside of work. And okay, this is the time I'm devoting to this and that. It's not always glamorous, especially in local TV. I mean, I was just barely pressing send on the video, sprinting to the studio while I'm putting lipstick on and getting the microphone on as they're like 3, 2, 1. And then you're smiling and you look like everything's great. You learn just how much time 30 seconds really is when you do TV.
Yes.
It's an eternity. You can do all kinds of stuff then. But I think it's a lot of that. And then people don't always see all the sacrifices with the time. You know, we want to do sports, which means we want to work on Saturdays when there's college football and Sundays when there's NFL football. So you're going to work weekends. My first college football season, I got to go to one wedding that I was in, but I missed two other friends' weddings. I've missed so many weddings. I was lucky, you know, everything's just a plane right away. So I got to be home a lot, but there is a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you do have to figure out how to establish that balance, because I think the most unglamorous part is just figuring out that balance, because there is so much time that you put into it and a lot of things that you'll miss.
I don't think there's any question. Yeah.
Yeah. The balance is key. I also remember you, this was right before COVID. And I always wonder like, oh my gosh, did Kelsey have one of the first strands of COVID? Because I remember you being deathly sick in December of that first year.
It was January. It was right when we got back from the national championship. We were in the bus on the way home and I remember having like a little cough and, you know, we had been all over the place and working and maybe we went out a time or two while we were in New Orleans. I can't remember that part of it. But I did. I came back and I was sick for like 2 weeks. And so the last doctor that I finally saw, they thought I had pneumonia and all said, have you been out of the country? I'm like, no, I've heard about that on the news. And so now that's my primary care doctor. Now I tell him, I'm like, I think you were right. I think we should know. Yeah. But I was so sick after all of that.
Wow. So patient zero.
Kelsey pushed through.
Right
it was
here.
Crazy. I mean, you were there.
Whew, yeah. Man.
That is nuts. Well, Kelsey, as we wrap up, let's do a little bit of a preview. And I want you to give us a couple of teams, one team, definitely more than one, that we should be watching this season outside of the Clemson Tigers. I'm sure everyone knows about them for football. Just kind of in your early studies and things that you've gathered and looked at, who are a couple of teams that you think, you know, our listeners should be looking out for this year?
When we were talking about this, doing this podcast and you mentioned we talk football, I'm like, I bet that's one of the things they'll ask me. And my exact thought was, I don't want to just go Clemson, North Carolina. So I was trying to even think more out of the box. And I don't even know that I got that far out of the box, but I just like that I was on the same wavelength as you guys. It makes me feel good to be on your level. I'm really still excited about Miami. And a lot of it obviously depends on Derek King and his rehab. And so I'm excited to see how that comes along. But when I was really thinking like what team from last year do I feel like has so much potential that, you know, they're maybe just tapping into. For me, it's Boston College.
Let's go.
So excited, yes. for Jeff Hafley, and to see how he continues to develop these guys, because you could just really see the buy-in in year one. And I just think that you can't say enough about how much that means, especially last year in COVID, when he didn't have a whole lot of time there, didn't have a lot of time around the guys. And then, you know, you could see the buy-in, but you could also see the talent. And Phil Dracovic, and, you know, I only got to cover a couple of games last year. So Boston College was one of the schools that I went to, I think, twice. When I was sidelining just because of COVID. And so I got to talk to him a little bit and coach a few times. And I'm really excited to see what they're able to do. I mean, you know, Hunter Long was obviously a huge talent and hole that they're going to have to fill. But the way that defense is going to be coming along, and then the offense was already exciting. And, you know, we got to see it a little bit in the spring game, how explosive they can be. Zay, I remember Cotter and Mark and I did like his first game. We're like, okay, what they're saying about him is right. This gets fast. This gets good. So I think that they're probably the team in the ACC that I am excited about the most right now, just because of the potential they have.
I am so excited that you just said that. Kelly, this is your opportunity. If you want to get on the bandwagon,
Kelly, what are you doing? Full speed ahead.
Kelsey Riggs is obviously now a New Englander. She lives up there. So she is all in on BC.
That's
it makes sense.
Team. I'm just saying, my friends are there. Cutter and Mark and I, we were the Boston College crew. That was all we did. So there's a special place in my heart for BC now.
No question. Listen, I am a stan. I've been a stan. I think that offensive line is going to be disgusting. I think Phil Dracovic is going to turn in to a top 10 draft pick. I mean, he's that good. He's that big. He has that much arm talent. And the defense, I mean, that's what I think we'll see the biggest change, is just the attitude, the swag, because we saw glimpses of it. And it's just like, am I watching Clemson? Am I watching Ohio State? These guys are out there dancing and celebrating and having, you know, really fantastic plays. I think that secondary, we're going to see them take it up another notch. And like you said, Kels, I think the most important thing to remember of last year is these coaches had to teach everything on a computer like we are right now. Now, can you imagine a defensive mastermind, like actually being able to see and work with his guys? And really, I'm excited for BC. So that's a fantastic answer there. Last one for you, ACC championship football. Give us your prediction of who's going to be in it on both sides. And then who's going to win it? Probably boring, but whatever.
Oh, man.
We know it's May 11th, okay?
Do you want me to go outside of the box, or do you want me to?
I would just want you. Whatever you think. If it's outside, it's outside. You can
I don't know that we're going to get the coastal chaos that we had a couple years ago. Was that two years ago, I guess, now, where we finally got Virginia, and they were like, who would even get the first? I don't even know if we had to, like, restart coastal chaos, who we would even go back to get back to the beginning.
We'll do some research.
It might be UNC from 2015.
It might be.
Or Virginia Tech, maybe.
Well, I think those are two good guesses there of like who could make it back.
Yeah.
I mean, just because I think, Emac, from me saying, like, if I was going to tell you the two teams that I was excited about off the bat, it would be obviously Clemson and North Carolina. So if you want my, what is it, May 11th, happy birthday to my mom prediction. it would have to be those two if I was going a little bit more off the beaten. I don't even want to go off the beaten path. You know what? At this point right now, if we get that and we get to have a normal football season, we get to see Clemson be what they always are. We get to see another year of Matt Brown in this offense. And then, you know, their defense obviously had a little bit of work to do, but, you know, they've got all their guys back now. How are they able to develop? Almost all their guys back. I think they lost one. How are they able to develop now a little bit further? Then I think that would be an incredible game. Kelly, also 2015, I think you're right. I think my first ACC championship that I ever got to cover was there between Clemson and North Carolina.
Do you remember the star player of that game by chance?
Well,
he had a long beard. He was a good looking guy.
Happens to be one of my favorite, like how it started, how it ended photos, where I am standing in the background with my News 13, shout out Myrtle Beach, camera, holding it up. Accidentally not where the photographers are supposed to be, because I didn't know what I was doing. It was my first game. I'm supposed to be on the other side. I'm in the background of every picture with Commissioner Swofford and Dabo and Deshaun, just standing there with my camera in the background. And guess who's right over to the side of my picture?
Right.
Mr. Emack, the star of the show in that one too. So
with that beard.
Yeah, yeah. Full circle. Maybe we'll all be back there. That's what I'll wish for it to be a good, healthy, safe season. And that if I had to pick right now, I'm on the Clemson, North Carolina bandwagon, especially if it starts the Coastal Chaos over again. That's too. Right. I mean, how crazy was that?
That'd be fitting. Who wins, Kels? Who wins between Clemson and North Carolina? Is your little Gamecock heart going to pick Clemson?
I was going to say, do I want to do this and just like go hang it on? Well, I was going to say, do I want to go hang it on this North Carolina bandwagon heart?
Oh, man.
Just ride it all year? No, I got to give it to the Tigers again right now. I do. I have to do it. I wouldn't do that to you guys on your podcast.
Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot.
We're honored.
Kelsey, I'm smarter than taking against them.
That's right. This was a lot of fun, Kelsey. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're going 1,000 miles a minute. For you to make time for us means a lot.
You guys, for y'all to ask me, it means a lot. This is a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed listening to you guys. Sometimes on my runs up there in Connecticut, listen to the pod, get me through it, get me a little educated, other than just, you know, sitting up there and listening to whatever new song came out from Taylor Swift. Not that there's anything
of course,
like that.
Of course. So. I mean, that should trump us, but I understand.
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Kelsey. That was so much fun.
Thank you, Kels.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all.
That is Kelsey Riggs, just one of the best in the business. We really appreciate her time. We know she's still swamped, even though she's getting a little bit of time off. You know, vacation is tough work, Mac, and you got to make sure you're getting your most out of your vacation. We both know this.
There's no question about that. And again, her just making time for us, she's all over the place all the time. Really grateful for her on her vacation, making some time to record a podcast with us. But I mean, what a great interview. Some of those stories, I mean, I never even heard like her being hired. It's so funny how it really is closely aligned with mine of we both get a message and we don't know who it is and we think we're being punked. I mean, that was our first contact with ESPN is somebody who is basically a ghost and doesn't exist when you Google them or try to find them. And, you know, so both Kelsey and I are just like, this is not real. She was a little bit, even though it sounded, she was very skeptical. She responded right away. I kind of ignored my guy and was just like, okay, blowing him off. And so luckily for us, we both ended up in the same place and a part of this great team. But it was a really fun interview with Kelsey.
Mac ignored the ESPN exec three times.
How I still, you know what though, Kelly, you know what? I think he enjoyed it because probably whenever he reaches out to anybody, it's probably like, yes, sir. You know what? How can we talk? And he had to chase me a little bit. And I think that was exciting for him. I think it was exciting.
I was the opposite.
If you listen to this, I'm just kidding. I love you, man. Don't fire me on the spot.
Okay, let's get to our ACC Spotlight of the Week. I'm going to start with a sport that has really become my third favorite behind basketball and football, and it's softball. I've been
really
enjoying it.
Did you mean behind football and basketball? Is that what you meant to say?
I said basketball first, then football.
I understand.
It's close though. But softball, the ACC softball championship gets underway this weekend. Clemson won the regular season title after a 3-1 series win over Syracuse this past weekend. The Tigers, in just their second season as a program, wins the ACC title. Pretty remarkable. They're the number one overall seed in the tournament. The first round begins today, Wednesday, on ACC Network. The quarters tomorrow, the semis on Friday. Those are all on ACCN, and you can see it all the coverage on ACC Network. Kelsey, I believe, will be hosting some of the studio stuff. And then the championship game, Saturday at noon on ESPN2. That is going to be must-watch TV. Your top four seeds, these are the four top 25 teams. Clemson's the number one overall seed, Florida State number two, Duke number three, Virginia Tech number four. Selfishly, I am rooting for a Clemson-Florida State championship game because, A, Mac, this is just how life should be. Clemson and Florida State should be playing for championships, and we haven't really gotten that in football, but whatever, I digress. But those two, because of how the schedule worked out, they didn't get to play in the regular season. Clemson already played Duke. That was a 2-2 split. Duke's a very good team. And they played Virginia Tech. They actually lost that series. So those could be some really good matchups. I'm not rooting against that necessarily. But I am, if we're being honest, rooting for Clemson-Florida State in the ACC championship. Very much looking forward to that, Mac.
Well, I think what you just said is very politically appropriate. You said you were rooting for that to happen. You're not rooting against anyone
else. Right, exactly.
You just would like to see, you know, the two best teams play each other. That's common sense. That's totally get it. They didn't play in the regular season. I, like you, for obvious reasons, would love to see that game. I think it would be fireworks. And just, again, when you see the firepower that each of those two teams have, it could be a really electric game. So, like you, I'm a big softball fan. It's funny. I reflect back again on our days at Clemson where, you know, we get on campus and I find out there's no softball team. I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, we are in the Southeast.
Like,
I'm out of here. I'm transferring before I even step foot in a class. But it just didn't make sense. And now you see the benefits of, you know, Clemson saying, okay, we're going to have a softball team. And in their first full season, winning an ACC championship. There's that much talent in the upstate that, you know, girls that go everywhere, you know, across the country to these great schools. But, you know, for finally to have kind of the home base right there, it's been a lot of fun. But those top four seeds, I mean, I cannot wait to see not only this ACC tournament, but, you know, the big show, the big tournament mm-hmm. and the NCAA, just to see, you know, how many teams can we get to Oklahoma City? Is it one? Is it a two? Maybe three, you know, just wrap it all up there. So it'll be
maybe
interesting
four.
To see. Yeah, just all four teams, you know, whatever we want to do there. But can I wait to watch softball keep going? And, you know, our guest, you know, next week, a little preview might have something to do, might know a thing or two about softball. So excited to
keep an eye
to
out.
Have them. I'm not going to disclose them join the podcast. But my ACC spotlight of the week, Kelly, I know people are maybe you're bored of this, maybe not. But let's talk some NFL draft. Let's talk 2022 way too early and look at these, you know, prospects that we have coming out of the ACC. I think there's no question that Sam Howell is going to be on everyone's radar. You know, where is he going to be projected? I think is going to be really fun to see. Again, when you talk about pros, he's a little bit of a shorter guy, but there's been plenty of short quarterbacks that have just dominated the league. Most notably Drew Brees, who just retired, that, you know, I think Sam's game mimics very well. The deep ball is impressive. The tight window throws, just things that he can do with the offense. Bubba Bolden from Miami, a safety who transferred in, now going in his second year in Miami. Really just an electric player that can do a lot of stuff for you. I think he's going to be a great guy. Big Icky from NC State. He's played left tackle, might slide into guard at the next level. Zion Nelson from Miami. Crazy to think 2 years ago, this guy gave up like 25 sacks against Florida as a true freshman, just was not ready to play. And now people discussing him as a first-round draft pick. Zion Johnson from Boston College, I think going to be the first guard taken in this coming up class. He's a guy that slid out to left tackle. Now I think this year is going to move back to guard, I hope, and really be a difference maker for them. Justin Ross from Clemson. Did you guys hear it? He's not transferring. I thought that was hilarious, by the way.
That was ridiculous. Alabama-Auburn, wishful thinking.
Yeah, good luck getting that guy. I think he could easily, if he's back and healthy, could be the first wide receiver taken in this draft, which that'll kind of get Clemson back to that wide receiver U type mentality where it just seemed like year after year it was a first-round draft pick coming from the wide receiver position. And then I mentioned this with Kelsey, but Phil Jurkovec, he's going to be a guy that I really think Kelly can move the most and has a ton of room to grow because, again, he's coming from a pro air raid, I like to call it. They get under center, but they throw the ball all over the yard. He's huge. I mean, he's just a big guy. I saw a picture of him and Cam Newton standing next to each other, and he's, I mean, head-to-head, maybe a little bit taller. So a true 6'5", 6'6", you know, 230-plus. He's been Roethlisberger, but a little bit more active. And I truly think that and think he's going to transition really seamlessly. So those are just a couple of guys that, you know, we're really excited to keep our eye on and that honestly could end up being a bunch of first-rounders of those guys I just listed.
Keep an eye on all of them. We're going to be talking about them. One follow-up question for you, Mac, and it's the two quarterbacks, Sam Howell and Phil Jurkovec. And we know the quarterback play is going to be excellent in the ACC this year. You have DJ Uiagalelei, of course, who's not eligible for the NFL draft yet, but De'Aaron King, Mackenzie Milton, Kenny Pickett, the list goes on and on. When you look at Howell and Jurkovec, which guy do you think can improve their stock the most with this ACC season coming up? Because I know Howell's already near the top, but if he plays incredible, like I see a little parallel with Howell and Baker Mayfield. I think that's an interesting parallel that maybe he could move himself up to the number one overall pick, perhaps.
Yeah, I think when you see it visually for, you know, your everyday average fan, it's going to be Phil Dracovic. But if you know football and if you really can dive into it and understand, okay, where can Sam Howell improve? Pocket awareness, not taking sacks, throwing the ball away, all these little things that he can do to make his offense so much more efficient. That's, it's probably a little bit harder to see or to know that that was on Sam. You know, a lot of people, again, I understand it's a hard position to evaluate, but offensive line, they just want to blame the offensive line. Well, a lot of that stuff has to do with Sam getting the ball out quickly. Not okay, let me just tell y'all this. If there's no one around Sam Howell and he runs out 1 yard short of the line of scrimmage, that goes down as a sack. And there's no reason to take those. Throw the ball away. And so you're putting yourself in weird positions. And if he can improve on that and improve a little bit more on his check downs, the sky's the limit. I mean, he has every throw in his arsenal. His movement is very good. He's athletic. He can read the defenses very well. So it's tough to pick one. But again, I think the more obvious one will be Phil Dracovic.
I can't wait. Football season, go ahead and get here.
That's right.
We are ready. We are ready here on the Graham Lick and McLean podcast. And this episode of the show, guys, is produced by Richmond Weaver. He does an absolutely amazing job. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode of Graham Lick and McLean. We always appreciate you guys for listening. And thank you so much for Kelsey Riggs joining us. If you haven't already, guys, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, write us a review. It's so fun to hear from you guys. We would always appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.